How to fill a room full of realtors. Hey, in this episode, Michelle Castle and I talk about how she uses educational events to fill a room with realtors, and she gets 60 to 70% of her business from this. And so Michelle is a loan officer based out of Sherman, Texas, does 200 plus loans a year. She's on the Scotsman's Guide as a top ranked loan officer. And a couple of takeaways from this conversation. First, she talks about how she structures these realtor trainings and even makes them qualify for CE credits. She shares the tools and tactics to manage how she gets more out of every single event, including making them mini virtual. And also at the end of this, we talk about what happens when she meets that realtor. So she does this as the top of the funnel, but then what happens next? So then once I meet with them face to face, how do I go from being this trusted educator to a trusted loan officer? And this is an awesome conversation that we have. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Peckford. This is the Island Mortgage Brokering Podcast, the number one podcast for mortgage brokers and LOs to learn how to scale their business. And I'm going to just give you on the outro of this one, a couple of quick things. First, if I'm going to share with you how you can get access to some stuff that Michelle's doing. And the second thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to break down the framework that she shares on how she builds this massive amount of rapport and trust with her realtors. And I'm going to give it to you literally step by step, because in the conversation, it can be tricky to follow. And I'm going to encourage and challenge you to actually go try this. I guarantee you, your realtors will be blown away if you do this thing at the end. So make sure you listen to this. Before I jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy for borrowers to use. It's got smart docs. It knows what documents a borrower needs based on how they fill out the app. It's got smart submission notes. It pulls key data from the app. And it's connected to the best tool for searching for rates and guidelines, Lender Spotlight. Check them out at lendesk.com/Finmo, and let's jump into this episode. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the mortgage business.
So I'm going to give you the interesting story.
So that's all we want on here anyway, so it's perfect.
That's right. So I grew up as a car dealer's daughter. And so my dad had always been in the car business. I mean, since he was a kid, he was working on cars, and it just grew from the all the way to him owning car dealerships. So I was being trained by my dad, mentored by my dad to take over his car dealerships one day. And I was in my 20s at the time, and he and I had a big falling out, and he fired me. He fired his own daughter. It was, golly, looking back, I can't even imagine. But I had really upset him, and I didn't have a job. And one of the things that I always enjoyed about the car business, and in the car business, he made me work in the service department. Like, I can change your oil. I can diagnose your car. If you've got some funny noise, just tell me what's going on. Yep. And so, I mean, I worked in every department of the car dealership, but the one area that I really liked a lot was the sales and finance. Mm-hmm. And so I had a friend that knew somebody in the mortgage business and said, you know, mortgage, car financing, it's got to be the same. Go talk to her. And I interviewed with the lady, and she hired me on the spot. And 30 years later, we still work together. So
you're still doing it. And so are you glad that your dad fired you now? Did that work out okay? Or is it?
I love what I do. I truly do. But there are some times where I think it's still, I mean, if I had a car dealership, when you come in to get your car serviced, there would also be a masseuse there so you could get a massage while you're waiting or get your nails done. I mean, I would do it different. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
You'd create a unique experience, because again, cars, to maybe a lesser degree, they're a commodity. A mortgage is definitely a commodity, because if they can talk to you, if your competitor down the street, if they're, it's going to be similar. It's going to be the experience you create in getting the mortgage. Okay. So
sales is sales.
Yeah. And you're actually the second person that I talked to recently who came from a parent that had a background in car sales. And this person is also very successful. So that's kind of cool. But so tell me, like one of your superpowers that I've heard is this, well, you're an educator, even on your Instagram and stuff, it says you're an educator. So maybe tell me a little bit about that. How you define that, and then how you layer that into your business, you know, to help you get more business.
So for me, you know, I even think back as a child, you know, when I just like sharing knowledge and information. And even as a kid, I would line up my stuffed animals and I would teach. I was a teacher.
That's awesome.
I just thought it was the coolest thing to grade papers. I mean, that was just, instead of playing house and all of the things that everybody else would play, I was playing classroom. So I think it just kind of feels natural for me to be a teacher. It just feels right. But I also think that life is full of experiences. And what I learned today, I can share with somebody else tomorrow. And it's the sharing of that knowledge that I appreciate. And it's not just standing in front of a classroom and talking. And I teach CE credit. So that gives realtors more of a reason to show up, because showing up for a class, they get their CE credit. But I also want them to leave learning something they didn't know about themselves or their business. So it started for me more as an intentional way for me to prospect, because I found myself so limited on time. I knew that I needed to talk to people who were willing and able to send referrals my way. But, you know, I can go and spend 1 hour with 10 to 20 people. And I prefer that 10 to 20. I don't want a room full of people, because it's all about relationships for me and really exchanging information more than me standing in front of a classroom talking. And so it's just a way, it started off as a way for me to prospect doing something that I enjoy doing. So it's
right. So you had the skill of, or the interest of educating, talking to your stuffies, or that's what we call them anyway in Canada. I don't know what you call them, stuffies in Texas. Stuffies is what my kids call them. And so, and then it learned, and then your business was like, hey, how do I could do that in my mortgage business and CE credit? So how do you create something that will get a CE credit? Is that something you figured out on your own? I'm curious on the process for that.
You know, for a long time, I would just teach loan programs. And then I'm like, you know, that's kind of boring. They can look this information up. So then I started really just asking the realtors, what do you want next? What do you not know that you need to know in order to do a better job in your business? And you'd be surprised how many of them want more about, some of the best attended classes is about social media marketing. Some of the our AI or CRM. How many real estate agents have a CRM and actually know how to use it effectively? So lead conversions, you know, how do you follow up whenever you do have a referral? Building your database, just some of those topics go over really, really well.
Okay. So let's say if it's on, I'll pick a topic like social media marketing, let's say. So then what's the process to go from these, you're going to get the governing body to say, check, we'll let you call that credits.
Oh, yes. Each state is different.
Yeah.
Texas does.
And of course, I'm giving people ideas to think about. You got to figure out wherever you are. If this is something you want to do, you got to figure it out for your own market.
You need to call the state. So in Texas, it's our real estate commission. Every state has a real estate commission. There's a governing body that determines who a realtor can obtain credit for to renew their license, right? So that's going to be different for everybody everywhere. For Texas, I mean, you do have to pay. They do have to determine that you have the credentials to be an educator. And then for each one of my courses, I have to turn in coursework and, of course, pay a fee. And then they approve the coursework to be taught.
I see. So, and then how much work would go into creating, so what's one that you created recently, just so we can make it current? If you can think of what was the course title called, and then how much time did you put into actually, now anybody listening, you're not going to build it as fast as Michelle. She's done this before, but I still would like to. Yeah.
Well, for me, I still put together PowerPoint presentations, so I have the visual. And so, you know, it's a 1 hour PowerPoint presentation that you're putting together. I would advise anybody that's going to get into that education space, just go teach what you're comfortable teaching, and it won't take you long to put it together. So, I mean, you're taking about a couple of hours to put together some content about something you're familiar with. If you've not been teaching, start with loan programs. You know,
right. How do you help? That's a low hanging fruit. Yeah. And then so then you would put together this presentation, you'd send it, because you've been approved by the state, you can now get a, if they approve, they go, yep, good. And then you market it to real estate professionals and say, hey, if you come check that, you come to my class, you can also get a CE credit. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You do them all live or virtual, or what do you typically do?
Well, so since COVID, I have continued to teach hybrid. So in Texas, they allow us to teach hybrid or live through Zoom. So I teach both at the same time. So I'll have a live audience in front of me and a Zoom audience, and I teach both.
Oh, that's actually, so I was thinking you were going to tell me you did a live session and then another day you do a Zoom session, but you just do them all at one time.
I do it all at one time. And here's the beauty of doing this. We all need content, right? So if you're going to record in Zoom, though it's not the same great quality that you would get through other platforms, you got to work with what's approved. So Zoom is approved. I'll go ahead and allow it to record. And now guess what I have?
Content.
I have content to put on my YouTube, and then I can also turn that long form into short form.
Right. So you're doing, so the couple hours of preparation to create that presentation can be turned into a lot of other.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just teach those same classes over and over. Now, here's another big, a great tip for anybody that is wanting to do this, teach in series. So if you say, I'm going to teach social media marketing, go ahead, break it up into several series. So one series might be on Reels. Another one might be on how do you set up a business page. Another one might be on, you know, how do you do sponsored ads, whatever it is, break it up into a series. So when they show up for one, you go ahead and have the QR code. I use Eventbrite for everything. So you can go to Eventbrite right now and see, if you just go Michelle Castle on Eventbrite, it'll show every class I'm teaching. And right. People can follow you. So every time I post a new class, if they are following me, they'll get a notification that I just posted a class. And so when you do that, whenever you're teaching, before they leave that class that you just taught, you have them get their phones out, scan that QR code, and sign up for the next class.
Right. So then they get continuity. You get another, they show up multiple times, and mm-hmm. you build more relationship.
Exactly.
Okay. That's genius. Okay. I have a question on how do you go from them seeing you as an educator to being their loan originator? Is there a certain thing you do at some point, or do they just go, hey, I'm Michelle, this is what I'm, you know, my background, and then you go into it, or is there an ask, or what do you do there?
Yeah. So I have a system for nurturing the relationship afterwards, because you're right. I am seen as the educator, the expert on that topic. But I mean, in order to make a living, I'm not making a living with three.
You're not making money yet teaching. You're making, making a living doing mortgages.
No. And so that follow-up system is really important. And my goal is to have a face-to-face with everyone that has attended any of my classes. And so how I do that is I have another QR code that is part of just my slide presentation. And just letting them know, listen, I am all about helping you build your business. And I want to meet with you one-on-one and find out what it is that you really need to be successful in business. And in order for me to do that, I just need you to scan this QR code and have them scan the QR code that goes straight to your Calendly. And they schedule those one-on-ones. But I'm also putting them into a very intentional, not marketing gimmicky drip campaign of continuing to provide them good
value,
basically. Value.
Yeah.
With invite, to meet with me one-on-one, and then also to the next class.
And the value in the between. Okay. So there was a bit more to it. There was like, okay, there was, because that's something really helps you, because you got to complete the loop.
I was like, man, I left that part out. Yeah. So I'm glad you
asked. So there is the complete the loop on this, but actually this ties into the next thing that I want to talk about, but one of your superpowers is helping people figure out what their authentic brand is. And so, mm-hmm. so talk to me about this. So we've got one question first. We're going to move to that. I promise. So if you have a room of 20, how many people would typically come to one of these sessions and then how many of them would actually turn into meetings, and what do you typically see as a flow through for your business? Just, and then we'll move on to the next part.
If I'm having an actual classroom setting class and it's a series that they've signed up for, attendance varies between 10 to 30 people. And like, I'm fixing to kick off another series and it's 2 hours of CE. And that's the other thing that I'll share too, is typically if they're going to come for 1 hour CE, they'd rather go ahead and stay and get two hours of CE at one time. And I'll typically break it up into two classes, so it's not 2 hours of the same topic. That way people on Zoom can drop in for one versus the other. But if you're going to get people to show up live, by the time they drive there and
make it worth their while,
just knock out 2 hours, right?
Right.
So
That's a little ninja tip right there that you just shared. Like, that's really clever. Okay, sorry, keep going.
So all of these things that I do that I just don't even think about. So I'm glad you're pulling this out.
I love asking questions, because what I find with people like yourself who are very good at something, it's all second nature, because it's and it's only when you start digging, you're like, wait a second, there's a nuance to this that's very easy to miss if you don't ask specific questions. Sorry. So yeah, keep going.
No, you're good. So attendance can vary just depending on whether, come on, we're talking about real estate agents, right? So if they get a call on their way and someone wants to go look at a house, they're going to detour and go show that house instead of
they're gone. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like herding cats sometimes. So attendance for me, 10 to 30 people in our area, I'm happy. And honestly, the smaller the group, the more intimate the conversation, the larger the group. Yeah, you just exposed yourself to more people. So I'm good either way. I don't care. And there's power in the promotion.
Right.
Right. So, even if 10 people show up, I don't care, because how many hundreds of people saw the invite? And so it's all about branding. So that answers your questions on the attendance part, right?
Yeah. So I guess that the follow up to that was, if 10 people show up, how many of them would you, on average,
how many
would you
think I expect to
get in FaceTime with?
6 to 7, I'll end up getting face to faces with.
Right. Okay.
And then
how much of your business has come from this, like from partnerships that you built through this channel, do you think? Like, if you look at
60 to 70% of the business comes from relationships built through education.
Right. So that you educate, you become the go-to person because they're like, wow, Michelle knows her stuff. And then it all turns in. That's amazing. Okay. So that follow-up is now kind of like, let's assume that I'm a realtor. I came to one of these things. You seem great. We meet. One of the things that you're going to help me figure out is my being authentic. So what kind of questions do you ask? And so again, somebody listening, I encourage you to write down these questions that Michelle's asking, and then you can ask yourself, but maybe go through that with me so that we can get a sense of what that looks like.
Yeah. So that is for me, real estate is, you could do real estate 100 different ways, and we can't be good at all of it. There's just no way you can remember all of the things that you got to remember to be good at all of it. And so my question for them is, what is your favorite transaction? When looking back, what is your favorite, easiest transaction you've ever done?
Right. And what kind of responses will you get on that?
A lot, they'll talk, oh my gosh, I remember this first time home buyer. They really didn't think that they could buy a house. And, I talked them into at least giving it a chance, just talk to someone and see if that was possible. And it was just so rewarding to be at the closing table and just the confidence that they had, and the kids are there and they're all excited. So I was able to make a dream come true. Which is, that's just one of your typical stories of they didn't think it was possible, and I helped them see that it was. Well, what about that transaction? I mean, what was still your favorite part about that? Was it the hunting for the house? Was it the, just asking all of those second and third level questions about what part of it they really truly enjoy? Because if you can help them figure out where's the emotional part for them? What makes them really get
fired up,
joy-filled, teary-eyed about the business itself? Some people don't like any of the emotions part of it. They just really love crunching numbers, running spreadsheets, return on investment, and that part of the real estate business. So I think it's just really important that people figure out really what does excite me about the business. And then when you can find that out, then it's...
So let's say we identify it as a first-time buyer or could be an investor client. So then what's the next step that you take me through?
You are so good at this. I love it. Thank you for slowing me down.
Well, thank you for that. I've been doing this for a while and I'm a very curious person. So I love I get on a train of thought. So anyway, So what would be,
Well, that's how the listener learns. So I love it. So if someone says to me, I love that first time home buyer, fantastic. So what are you doing to attract more of that business?
Right.
Where are you going? Well, I hadn't even thought about that before. Well, where do you think, where could these first time home buyers be? Where do you think you could get their attention? What community could you go get involved in?
What would be an example of something that someone had a creative insight they had from this discussion with you? So you started this process, you're helping them identify an avatar.
If someone was wanting to work with first time home buyers, for me, I always think, okay, what is the average age of a first time home buyer? I was looking at a NAR report yesterday. I think it was like 34, 35 years old. All right. Yeah. How old are their children?
Right.
Where are these families? Do you need to go get involved in the school? Do you need to go sponsor an event? Do you need to go volunteer for a committee? Like, how do you get involved and how do you meet these families?
Right.
So where are you spending your time? Where are you spending your money? And what is your messaging to people? Number two, what is your social? Let's pull up your social media right now.
Right.
When you're posting, are you being very specific about, hey, I see you, I hear you, I know what your struggles are, and I'm here to provide some resources and some solutions for you.
Right.
But if you're not posting that, then nobody is hearing that you're there to serve that community.
Right. That makes sense. So first is you identify the avatar. So if I quickly recap, based on their passion and what motivates them. Second thing then would be you start to help them brainstorm. And I like that you're actually not just giving them the answers, because if they come up with you're asking them questions to pull the information out of them. Like, where are those people that where would the first time buyers be? And then they start thinking and they go, I didn't think about that. And so that's one way you're creating a ton of value. And then the next step is how does your presence look online? Are you actually attracting what you say you want? Because maybe you want investors, but everything you do is like first time buyers. And you're like, well, you're not going to be a happy camper. And so then what would be the next step? Would you then say, because you seem like you've got branding figured out, like you, something like obviously you put some thought into branding. Is that a piece of this as well?
Absolutely. But then it's really about what I have found, Scott, is I could go through this all day long, but if I don't get them to get their calendar out and start putting something together, all right, hang on one second. Now we talked about you need to show up in these places. Let's Google those places. Let's see when they have their next meeting and let's get your calendar out and let's actually put that on your calendar.
Right.
Because if I don't help them create the time and create the action item, they'll leave there and go, oh my gosh, that was so great. You gave me so many good ideas. What'd you do with those ideas? Well, I hadn't done anything yet.
I can tell you've been doing this for a while, because that's actually the missing link is in the actual execution. And so that takes away some of the activation energy of executing on, hey, I'm going to go volunteer at my kid's school thing because I said that and right. Or whatever the thing is that they want to do for.
Then for me is putting it on my calendar, because if I'm going to really help them, if I'm truly going to help them in business, then I want to set a reminder to check in with them. How'd that go?
Right.
What'd you learn? Who'd you talk to? Did you put them in your CRM? Oh, well, come back, because that's another conversation.
Right. Now we get the scene. That's hilarious. So then you complete the loop there. I've got a question sort of side to this, because you're doing such a, what I would say is a thorough job of coaching the real estate agent. How do you fit in time to still do your loans? Do you have like a team? What does that structure look like?
I do have a team. And so that is, my team That's a struggle for me, Scott, because really I'd love to be able to talk to every one of my customers that ever gets referred to me from the very beginning of the process and walk them through that process. I can't possibly do that because I coach loan officers too. So if I'm going to teach and be a mentor for real estate agents and help loan officers, and I've got to do my prospecting as well. And I'm very close to my database. So for me, my FaceTime with my customers is spent with my database, and my team does a really good job of handling the customer whenever they're referred to us, walking them through the process. And then I interject myself in the process at pre-approval, from pre-approval and then to the closing table. So,
okay. So if I'm a lead, so this is kind of, this is a secondary thing, but if I'm a lead and I get referred, cause you're out building, you know, and you're in your sweet spot, your superpower when you're doing what you're, what we were just talking about.
Right.
So, but having the team in place behind you, and then they don't feel like they're not getting Michelle, you show up at pre-approval. What do you do at pre-approval specifically? Is it just a message, you send a phone call?
So I still have messaging and videos and emails that are going out from me through the process that are very intentional and personalized. So it's not. And that I also have I'm very strategic in how I'm referred by the realtor partner. So when they refer people to me, they're referring them to the Castle team. So people already know they're getting the team. And then I, you know, there's video and personal messaging that goes out, and then an invite to schedule some time to go over their pre-approval. And then I just call and introduce myself at pre-approval and thank you so much for the opportunity. Wanted to go over any questions that you might have that the team didn't cover and explain that process to you again. Make sure you have.
How long is that call typically?
I schedule 15 minutes.
Okay. And these are scheduled calls. So you would, they're not just like, you're not playing phone tag and stuff.
No, but I schedule on Thursdays from 4 to 6 to call my pre-approvals for the week.
Right. Okay. That's smart.
And then if people, want an actual appointment, they have a link to schedule their own appointment by Zoom or telephone or in my office, and they pick.
Okay. And all right. So this brings up always more questions, many, many questions. And so the next part would be, so that lead comes in, that there, it's part of that. It all comes from the handoff. So the realtor is handing off to the team. Somebody on your team is obviously doing the initial reach out, getting the app and stuff built, even coming up with the initial plan. And then they've already communicated a plan to some degree. And then you are inserted in the process for 15 minutes.
Yeah. So I get copied on everything. So at the end of every night, I read every email that's ever gone out from anybody on my team.
So that you know what's going on then. So that's actually, that's a little tactic. That's actually really smart.
And everything that we do, we use Salesforce, and every email conversation, every text message, and every phone call is logged with the details of the information. So if an email goes out, it's in there, it's in the CRM under that customer. So I know exactly everything that's been said for every file. So if when I pick up the phone and I start making my phone calls, I've got everything in front of me. So I'm not clueless as to what's going on.
Right. Okay. Because if you didn't have that in place, it would make it very difficult for you to have you'd be like not a stranger, but you wouldn't know what's going on, and it wouldn't be personal.
Yeah, it would not be a smooth conversation for sure.
And so you said you sent out video. I assume you probably have videos that get sent out at certain stages that are pre-recorded that are like, hey, we're doing this next. Do you insert any personalized videos that you send out one-offs, or is it all pre-recorded videos?
Right now, the recorded videos, what I had done in the past, and I was reminding myself how effective it was to send personalized videos. I do use BombBomb.
Yeah.
And so I highly recommend that they be personalized videos.
Right. Yeah, I've been using more video, and I find that the response rate on it is like personalized, where I recorded. I'm using Loom. I've used both BombBomb, but for what I'm using, it's... okay, so the one other thing you got me thinking about, this is, and we're going to wrap up here in a couple of minutes, but you said that on Thursday between 4 and 6, you do your pre-approvals. How else do you schedule your week in order to fit in Because I got to imagine if I followed you around for a couple of days, I'd be like, dang, you get a lot. You got a lot of stuff to do. So how do you, how are you doing that?
Well, I know this sounds crazy, but I schedule my calendar out a year in advance. So I know exactly where I'm teaching, what I'm teaching, and who I'm teaching to. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't mean that somebody might ask for me to come and do something differently, but I pretty much have, I'm very strategic about who I want to do business with and how I'm going to do business with them. And then, you know, so now when I have the who and the what, then it's just the when and the how that I have to figure out. So I have that all put in place. So yes, my calendar is already scheduled out. And Thursdays are coaching days and Wednesdays are education days. So typically any of the classes that I'm going to teach are going to be on Wednesdays. Monday, you know, Monday's just a check-in day just to see, you know, what realtor partners have, what going on and where do they need some help? And, you know, who are they working with that I need to talk to? So Tuesdays are Tuesday update days so that everybody gets an update on what's going on with their referrals and their loans in process. So I just theme day it out.
Right. So, so Wednesday is for you, education is like your marketing component. So if somebody had a marketing day, that would be for you as like, hey, you're going to get in front of a bunch of people every Wednesday that you can. And that's going to build up your pipeline of referral partners. Right. And then, so what do you do on Friday? What's Friday?
Friday's a fun day. So I try to leave it pretty loose. Because I want to be available. I mean, it's just...
That's why we're talking on a Friday. We don't usually tell the day we're talking, but because it actually worked out for your schedule and stuff.
So right, because I leave it loose for those pop-ins.
Right.
And it feels good. I'm honestly, Scott, the reason I have a calendar that looks like mine is because I would really piddle my day away. If like my most favorite thing to do on a Saturday is whatever I want to do when I feel like doing it.
Right.
And I would do that all day long and it would feel great. So Fridays, I like to leave loose and I, what I call white space on my calendar, because it keeps me from feeling suffocated by the heavy schedule Monday through Thursday.
Right. And then you can pick things that are more last minute or whimsical that are in, you know, oh, this looks like it might be fun and I can go do that.
Yeah.
And, okay. How big is your team? So how many people do you have that help you with this?
I have two on the front end and a loan processor. So there's four of us all together.
Right. And you're not involved most of the time, unless there's a problem, you're not involved in specific files unless they need you, right? When do you fit that in? So let's say there's problems on a file and they're like, oh my gosh, Michelle, is there a certain, do you do that as a daily check-in or what does that look like?
No, we have a pipeline meeting on Tuesdays where we're going over everything in process so that we've got everybody's up to date for giving out updates. Mm-hmm. Other than that, no, as it comes, I handle it.
Okay. So just as they pop up, you deal with them. Mm-hmm. And then,
Remember, I've got a pretty heavy schedule, so they'll have to wait till there's time in between. I mean, if there's something that pops up, someone will say something and then I'll let them know when I'd be available to look at it. And, you know, a lot of times they figure it out before I am available.
Yeah. If they can get to you too quickly, sometimes it becomes easier versus if they can't, then they're actually just going to problem solve it themselves.
And it's funny. Yeah. And it's funny because like I got a call a while ago, I was grabbed a bite to eat before you and I got together and I got a phone call like, oh my gosh, so-and-so's got questions about their payment. And we've already sent the wire out. And he's like, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, do you even know what his questions are? Well, no, but why don't you call and just, I mean, like, it's just so funny because sometimes they just overreact on something that's just not sure to handle. Hang on one second. Let's just calm down. Talk through this. How would you handle it? Like, really, now that you've taken a deep breath, how do you think it should be handled?
Yeah. And so that's that. Now you're coaching your team. So like the back to the coaching, the agents and. Mm-hmm. Well, this is where can people find you online if they're looking for you?
Michelle, sorry.
That's okay.
Don't know my name. MichelleCastle.info.
Right. Well, Michelle, it's been awesome to get to know you a little bit. Thank you for taking the time to share with our audience. Just some, this has been awesome. And you've got me, I got some notes for my own business that I'm thinking about.
Oh, good.
So thank you.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Hey, thanks again for listening. And hopefully you're inspired like I was from this conversation with Michelle. So a couple quick takeaways. One, I absolutely love how she's using education as a way to stand out in her market. But she's done it at a level that I have not seen anyone else do in terms of there is a bit of work to this. But as we talked about it, she's doing it on one day a week. And she's using this to leverage into building tons of new relationships. And her results obviously speak for themselves, 200 plus loans. And so she talked about at the end when I said, okay, how do you actually, when you get in front of a real estate agent, what's the conversation look like? And so there's four kind of parts to this that I broke down and I want to share this with you. And I want to encourage you to use this with your realtor partners as a way to go deeper in your relationship and get more referrals. So the first thing is to ask them, what is your favorite transaction? And the purpose of that is for them to identify their avatar, their ideal client of who they like to work with. And this is not you telling them, this is them telling you, right? And then make sure that they, and then ask them why, because you want to get to the emotion of it. It's not enough to just be, you know, a numbers type thing. And then, so once they've identified that, you know, have the conversation, hey, you know, if you want to stand out, the best thing to do is go super niche and focus on that niche, as Alex Hormozi says, I'm going to niche slap you. Going niche is actually the way to go. That's how you get bigger, especially in this crowded marketplace that we're in with so many voices and so many people. So first is favorite transaction and why, and then get to the emotion of it. The second is, okay, where would you find more of these clients? And you're not necessarily, you may have some ideas, but it's better to get them talking. Let them pull out as many of the ideas from them, because if it's their ideas, they're actually going to follow through on them versus yours. You can kind of guide it a little bit, but the idea is for the brainstorming session. And then once they've come up with, and then I would say to them, okay, out of the ideas we have, what do you think is the two or three best ways to get these kind of clients? They're going to say that. Awesome. Okay. So the next step is actually to schedule it in your calendar. When do you think you'd fit this in? Because and again, you can make this more of a not just, hey, I'm going to tell you what to do. It's like, hey, this is what I find works for me. I find that if I don't put it in my calendar, it doesn't happen. It doesn't matter how much I like those clients or I know what I need to do. If it's not my calendar, don't do it. So what do you think? If you look at your calendar, when would that work? And then they're writing it down. You're writing it down. Now you have some inside information on that realtor that you're just not going to get anywhere else. You're not going to get that from, you know, looking at their online, and the level of relationship and the depth will be so much better. And so now they've said when they're going to do it. Now, when you follow up, you can check in. How's it going, man? You know, you said you're going to go to that B&I meeting to meet, you know, you like business for self clients or whatever their thing is. You like small business owners, or your favorite kind of clients, or your favorite kind of client is investors and they're going to an investor meeting. How did it go? Did you meet anybody? You know, and then now your conversation is much richer and deeper. I think it's a great idea. It obviously works for Michelle. So I encourage you to check that out. Also, if you want to get access to some of Michelle's stuff, and she's got like a group, and just on whatever podcast player you're listening to, click on this episode, click on show notes, and then there'll be a bunch of links. There'll be a link there that you can join to get access to some more of Michelle's stuff. And it'll help you just see what she's doing and get a bird's eye view or behind the scenes, not a bird's eye view, behind the scenes of what she's doing. Check that out. Thanks again for listening to this episode. And remember, there's no problem in your business that you're facing that somebody else hasn't already solved. Your challenge is like, who's got the answer to the test that I'm trying to pass right now? Hope you enjoy. And if you like this episode, please review it and or send me an email. I love hearing from you guys. Make it a great day.